Welcome to the Encounter Jesus podcast. All right, I'm on Life of Jesus. I'm going to continue the series, right? You probably all know what it is, right? The Life of Christ. I'm on part 14, right? He's got a lot of parts to his life. As I'm studying him, my goodness, Jesus is like crazy. Like there's so much dimensions of Christ in the Word of God. And I'm going to be preaching out of Matthew 26, 36 through 56, the Passion. And yes, the heart of Jesus for us today is this, that the prophetic plan of God will be loosened in your life, that there will be a measure that Holy Spirit will unfold today, unwrap, and show you what the next step is with a clarity and peace and a strength and a healing and a comfort attached to that place in Jesus' name, right? Amen? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome divine revelation right now to see more of the prophetic plan of God today for our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to jump right in. Verse 36. Then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called the oil press. He told them, sit here while I go and pray nearby. And actually, I had a turn meeting, upper room meeting on Thursday with Michael and Larissa, and they actually unpacked this. They're from upper room. They unpacked this same passage. He talked more about the sorrow and how to overcome sorrow in different seasons, which was really powerful, very interesting, because it kind of connected a little bit what I'm going to talk about today. But in Andrew Womack's commentary, we all know who he is, right? He's got an awesome online commentary. So, Gethsemane. This is a Greek word meaning oil press, according to Strong's Concordance. The meaning of this word conveys the ideal that this was an olive garden or garden where the oil was taken from olives by pressing or squeezing. This garden was located near Jerusalem at the foot of Mount of Olives. Jesus often retired to this place with his disciples to pray. That's in Matthew 26, 36, Mark 14, 32, Luke 22, 39 through 40, and then John 18, 1 through 2. If you want to put the route of Jesus, he went on and he was betrayed. This is actually out of the NIV Life Application Study Bible. This is actually the route he took during this time in this period. So I get to use my pointer. Yeah. So right there is where this started. That's traditionally the upper room, okay? And if you go follow the red arrow there, he goes down the lower city in Jerusalem there, up the Kidron Valley, up to the Garden of Gethsemane. By the Mount of Olives there. And they come back down the Kidron Valley. That's actually after the experience of Judas betraying them, coming back down here. Then they went up to, through the lower city, back up to Caiaphas' house. So it gives a little of his route, a picture context of some things that took place in this time. So verse 37 here. So he took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. Then he walked a short distance away and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, my Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. So obviously Jesus must have been pretty low for an angel to show up to strengthen him, huh? So why did the angel strengthen Jesus here? Obviously to empower him to fulfill his call, right? To prepare him to love us as he was betrayed, arrested, mocked, beaten, flogged, and pierced for our salvation. Thank you for Jesus for loving us first, right? Have you ever had angels come and strengthen you when you needed it? I've had a few times where angels came and they strengthened me when I needed it. One of those times was in May of 2005. So I was 3 months into a youth revival I was overseeing. I had youth and youth leaders coming to me requesting to meet more because just what everything that God was doing, I was creating more space and time for us to seek Jesus. And at this point, we were already meeting several times a week and lots of great things were happening and the anointing of God was increasing every time we met. And Jessica and I were also in a process of moving into a new home. And so we had 3 weeks to leave our seminary apartment, go through the buying process, and to do the physical move. So that's a lot of time, right? Also, I was getting ready for all the summer youth events, right? In this season of life, I was gone almost the whole summer, you know, with missions and camps and conferences and rallies and events and all those things. And on top of all that, I was asked to speak at 3 high school baccalaureate services, Asheville, Mapleton, and Halesdale. And in the midst of this, I went and fasted and prayed. You ever have your moments like, I need to go fast and pray, be with Jesus? So I headed to, obviously, Sandusky Hollow to seek Jesus. So it was pretty quiet then. It's more publicized now. And, you know, and I found, of course, I took my oval spaceship gray CD player with me because we didn't have phones, you know. So if you had worship music, you had to take a boombox, you know, kind of thing. And I found a spot in the woods to worship and pray. And I was preparing my heart, you know, right before I was getting ready to speak at Asheville High School Baccalaureate. And I was worshiping to the song, I See the Lord Seated on the Throne. And it's actually seeing it. You see, I was struggling with public speaking. I struggled with public speaking my whole life. And 27 years old and about 7 years after I was saved and called, but I would say yes to public speaking because I felt the Lord wanted me to do it, not because I wanted to. I loved him more in my discomfort. Ever been there? So I would get anxiety. I get fear, throw up, shake, sweat, make excuses. I was nervous. I don't have anything to do with it. Again, this was about 7 years after I was saved and called into ministry. So I was worshiping Jesus, right? And I was in complete surrender to him. You ever get to that place where you're just like surrendered and like whatever you want to do, mold me, shape me, just in a really good place. And Lord, help me, give me strength. I don't know how much more I can take. I know those scriptures about, Lord, you won't go give me anything more I can handle, but I don't know if that's true, but I know it's truth. You know, you ever been there? Like, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm proclaiming the Lord, but I don't feel it. We got to speak the word of God and our feelings line up to it. So then the presence of God came in a very unique way and healed me. And I believe there's angels there strengthening me too. And after that encounter with Jesus and angels, the fear of speaking was gone. I felt a great strength to move forward in one of the most powerful seasons of my life of foundation and transition. And for the first time when I spoke at Asheville Baccalaureate with peace, I preached on the armor of God. And it felt so good not to have strong anxiety. So the next month, I and we received and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit moving upon the youth in a supernatural way. No way, nothing I could orchestrate. Whether we're building homes with no power tools in Tijuana, Mexico, or for people in need, or serving the city of Aliquippo, Pennsylvania, or ministering in the Ashland region, the presence of God was with us. And we had all kinds of testimonies in that season come forth, commitments to Jesus, healings of all form, baptism, signs, wonders, miracles, transformation, etc. These youth were internally marked by the presence of God. I was marked by the presence of God. You ever have moments in your life where God marks you, defines you, you can't shake it? It's like he sears you, like brands you by the power of Jesus. So it was one of the hardest seasons of my life, but the best at the same time. You ever had one of those? So the bottom line is this. So if Jesus shows up to heal you or angels show up to strengthen you, receive it. So we receive the supernatural strength that the Holy Spirit wants to give you because he desires to move upon you with power in the present and in the future. So verse 40 here. How many know encounters strengthen us, transform us, and mark us? It unlocks us to move forward in Jesus' name. Verse 40, later he came back to his 3 disciples and found them all asleep. He awakened Peter. I don't know why he awakened Peter first. That's interesting. Must have had a special bond. Come on, Peter. He let the other two sleep a little there. But he said to him, could you not stay awake with me for even an hour? Keep alert and pray that you'll be spared for this time of testing. Your spirit is eager, but your humanity is weak. Then he left them for a second time to pray in solitude. He said to God, "My Father, is there not a way you can deliver me from this suffering? Then your will must be done." He came back to his disciples and found them sound asleep, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he left them and went away to pray the same prayer for the third time. Prayer gave strength to Jesus, right? How many know that prayer gives you strength in because you encounter the person? And when you encounter the person, he's what imparts strength and brings transformation and conforms us and gives us that fresh oil, that fresh fire that we need to move forward in the name of Christ. It kept his heart tender to do God's will in the midst of his disciples sleeping. So I'm sure he probably had some thoughts, you know, with his disciples sleeping while he's trying to do God's will being crucified here. So obviously here in Encounter Jesus, we value prayer, right? Prayer is important, right? We value the power of prayer agreement with heaven for releasing God's heart on earth. How many know that Jesus is our greatest intercessor ever? Jesus is agreeing with heaven so he can release his Father's heart on earth. You know, what does Jesus do all day, right? He prays for us. It's the next question. What's he praying for us? Because whatever he's praying for, I want to align to that, not with what I'm praying, what other people are praying, even though that might align, but I want his heart. What's Jesus saying over my life? And then we align to that. Verse 45, when he returned again to his disciples, he awoke them saying, "Are you still sleeping? Don't you know the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the authority of sinful men? Get up and let's go, for the betrayer has arrived." At that moment, Judas, his once trusted disciple, love that interpretation there, appeared along with a large crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent to arrest Jesus by order of the ruling priests and Jewish religious leaders. Now, Judas the traitor had arranged to give them a signal that would identify Jesus, for he had told them, "Jesus is the one who I will kiss, so seize him." So Judas quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, "Shalom, Rabbi," and he kissed him on both cheeks. Verse 50, "My beloved friend," Jesus said, is this why you've come?" Then the armed men seized Jesus to arrest him. But one of the disciples, guess who, Peter, right, pulled out a dagger and swung it at the servants of the high priest, slashing at his ear. I'm sure the servant probably ducked. He didn't probably aim for his ear, you know. Peter's like, you know, let's go for his head, but he probably ducked and hit his ear, right? But Jesus said to him, put your dagger away, for all those who embrace violence will die by violence. Don't you realize that I could ask my heavenly Father for angels that come at any time to deliver me? Instantly, he would answer me by sending more than 12 legions. It's roughly 60,000, right? Of angels to come and protect us. Now, hear this. But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God. For it has been written that it would happen this way. So Jesus knew the prophetic plan of God and how it needed to happen. In a sense, he was protecting the prophetic plan of God by what he said to Peter. Knowing the prophetic plan of God for our lives, right? It gives us wisdom, courage, strength, and foresight to walk it out no matter what our life situation is. So that brings us to this question. Holy Spirit, what is the prophetic plan of God for my life? And let's give some time for you to hear what the Spirit of Jesus Christ is saying. Those who have ears, let them hear the next steps of what this season is supposed to look like for your life. And then guess what? You get to protect that. You get to live in that because you're doing His will, not your will. So I just want you to spend a little time and hear the Lord right now. Hear the Holy Spirit. Let Him begin to speak to you in vision form, scriptures, impressions. Because it's step by step the Lord leads us in. I'll let it begin to bubble up in Jesus' name. You can continue to ponder that as I flow here. Verse 55. Then Jesus turned to the mob and said, "Why would you arrest me with swords and clubs as though I were an outlaw? Day after day I sat in the temple courts with you, teaching the people, yet you didn't arrest me. But all this fulfills a prophecy of the scripture." At that point, all his disciples ran away and abandoned him. We've all been there. We'll die. We'll do anything for you. So why did the disciples run away? As I'm, you know, pondering this, they didn't see God's prophetic plan correctly. It manifested different than they thought. Ever been there? Most of us know what that feels like, right? In their shock, confusion, pride, and fear, they felt the safest and best thing to do was to run away from Jesus because they didn't understand the prophetic plans of God rightly. They lacked revelation of God's prophetic plan. And it's so important we see and understand God's prophetic plan for our lives, what that looks like. Here's the next question. Holy Spirit, help us see and understand the prophetic plan of God for encounter Jesus. What is my part in that? Begin to allow the Holy Spirit, one body, many parts, obviously, but begin to allow the Lord. You might know a little or whatever you know, just ask the Lord for more. What does that look like in this season? What is that, you know, show me, let the Holy Spirit reveal that. Let it stir you up right now in Jesus' name. Jeremiah 29:11-14, NIV says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you, declares the Lord." And Isaiah 55:6, NIV, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near." So in this season, I believe that we're going to find Jesus in a fresh way because he's near. Anyone feel the nearness of the Lord? I know I do. So in his nearness, right, there's clarity, vision, wisdom revealed to the prophetic plan of God for our lives and for the Encounter Jesus family. And I think there's a release in that right now. Let me just pray and seal this by the blood. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did today. Thank you for just prayer. Thank you for worship. Thank you for word. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for Holy Spirit. Thank you for Thanksgiving. Thank you for the blood and the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost, Lord. Thank you that this is the month that we get to celebrate in a unique way, Father, about your resurrection, because you are King Jesus. You're the King Kings. And we thank you that all you've done in our hearts today, Lord, I thank you for just the wisdom and revelation that you release, Lord. And I bless every heart here, Lord, with the prophetic plan of God for the individual life, but also corporately, Lord. I thank you for the establishment of your spirit, brick by brick, step by step, and all the things that you're doing, Father, in hearts. I ask that you just bless it, increase, prosper it, loosen it, and just that there will be just, oh, I see it inflatable like a like there's inflatable like revelations that some of us receive today, and we're going to plug in the compressor, and it's going to blow up, and we're going to start to see what it looks like with more clarity, and it's going to release vision, it's going to release life, and it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit blowing afresh on what he's releasing and loosening today in our hearts. We say, blow on us, Holy Spirit, in this season, so we can have a revelation deeper and greater of Jesus, so we can transform and conform into his wonderful likeness, no matter what our life situation is, that we can lift our hands like Kurt was releasing and praise you. And like Paul was releasing about the numbers, about the blessing song, and amen, Lord. And we say yes and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. And make sure you bless one another, connect, love one another. So amen. Thanks for listening. For more information, check out our website at EncounterJesusChurch.com. Blessings.